That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Pastor Gordon Connor. I want to invite you to stay with us. We're going to talk about the glory of Emmanuel on Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring.
Greetings to each one of you from Greater Vancouver Baptist Church. This is Pastor Gordon Connor. This is our local church radio broadcast, Standing on the Promises, and we're glad that you could be with us today. We're going to spend our time today in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And if you have a Bible or are able to get it out and follow along with us, I would encourage you to do so. I'm going to begin with a great medley of songs, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
Faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one, his words for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough. Jesus died, and that he died for me.
During the Christmas season, we always think a lot about that name Emmanuel because it's used in the Christmas story, and he shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Well, in John chapter 1, we're going to consider the glory of Emmanuel, and the names that are given to him in this text definitely declare that glory to the world. So we're going to begin. One of the names from the very beginning is found in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus is indeed the Word. You know, this verse is well known to us, and what an amazing declaration to begin the fourth gospel. John's heaven-given purpose, guided by God the Holy Spirit, was to unequivocally state that Jesus was indeed God manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel, God's choice of the term word, logos, in the Greek language is important because the words that we speak reveal our character. And so in a way, Jesus coming to earth is in essence the speech of the invisible Godhead. The Lord Jesus has declared God to us. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Thomas, of course, was always questioning, and he had said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said to him, he said, Thomas, have I been so long with you, and you've not seen the Father? And in John 14, the Lord said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. It's a bold and plain words. Now the psalmist tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And yes, we would agree the heavens do indeed declare the glory of God. But you know, in the most glorious photos of our universe captured by those telescopes out in space, or as we watch the wonderful beauty of a sunset, there really is not an equal presentation of God as what we have in the person of Jesus Christ, the living Word. Now, it's important for us to understand that there was never a time when the Lord Jesus did not exist. The word that is used in verse 1 here was is used three times. And I have found that this word was is in the Greek imperfect tense. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can dig around, read study books, and which it means, this Greek imperfect tense, is means that it's continuous, ongoing. In the context of this verse, we could maybe use the expression, was continuing. In fact, the entire verse carries this sense. So we could, as we read this verse, understand it, in the beginning was continuing the Word, and the Word was continuing with God, and the Word was continually God, ongoing. You know, it sets before us the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is not someone from the past or present or future, but all three. He is continuous in his existence. Now, time is a tool given to us by God to help us finite beings relate to our own existence. This word that John uses takes us into a realm of timelessness. The Word, as the Lord is described here, belongs to a realm where time does not matter. And you know, that thought can be rather unsettling for us at times. You know, we can look back on the year that has just come to an end, and we can tell stories about our personal past, and we can study history and learn of centuries ago. But to go back beyond the beginning, to no beginning at all, well, that can be disquieting for us. But you know, when we consider the Lord Jesus, we must go there. We must remember that he is much more than that babe in Bethlehem. He is eternal in every sense of the word. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. In essence, in character, everything that makes God God, he is. And though separate in person and identity, he is still God in every sense. And so we can see the uniqueness of the triune Godhead. And this simple yet hugely profound fact is really what sets Bible Christianity apart from all other man-devised religions, and it is why the Lord Jesus is hated above all others. Jesus Christ is not just a great prophet from God. He is not a God, as the Jehovah Witnesses try to corrupt this verse. He is not one of many messengers pointing to many ways. Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, is the living, eternal Word. He is God. Hebrews 1:3 describes Him this way, "Who, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." And no one else has access to the Father except by Him. Yes, there is an exclusiveness to the Christ of the Bible. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Emmanuel is fully and completely God who came to us, who is with us. But let's go a little bit further in our text. The same, verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That beginning in verse number 2 is talking about the start of all things for you and me, the creation of this universe and the world in which we live, and we ourselves as human beings. Now, we're confronted with strong language. There's no question as to what truth is being set forth. The Lord Jesus, the living Word, is the creator and sustainer of all that we call our world and universe. You know, that's pretty straightforward. I mean, look around you, gaze upon the beauty of the snow-capped mountains, and wonder at the immensity of the stars and galaxies of the universe. Just take a moment and look at your hand and wiggle your fingers and marvel at the mechanics of your own hand and realize Jesus Christ made it all. This truth is found in the consistent witness of the Bible. Just Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature," speaking of Jesus Christ, "for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Even in heaven, in Revelation, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, in our text in John chapter 1, in verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him." Now, the word world is another Greek word, cosmos, which refers not only to the physical planet, but to the world of humanity. We read in Colossians a moment ago that all things, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Now, we understand how our world has turned their back upon creation and the Creator. We prefer to consider ourselves as products of chance and the survival of the fittest. To admit to a Creator is to admit to an accountability to that Creator, something that this postmodern world doesn't want to do. And as Romans chapter 1 tells us, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections." You know, the world's rejection of God's truth changes nothing. Now, look at verse 3 again. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So, the iron that was dug out of the ground and refined and fashioned into Roman nails and a spearhead, trees cut down and shaped into a cross, the thorns that made up His crown, were all there because of His creative power and command. Now, verse 4 goes on to tell us, "In Him was life." I find this a very deep and rich statement. I mean, life is not a trivial consideration. Where would we be without life? And when we pause to consider this equally powerful statement, the scriptures also help us to define the scope of life that resides in Emmanuel. I mean, looking back to our last point, creation life. You know, and we think of the book of Genesis, and we know how God spake, and the world was covered with the plant life, and the trees, and the grasses of the field, and all those things, and then life, the diverse creatures and animals. And, you know, I always enjoy watching nature shows and the amazing diversity of life and the unique creatures. And as I do, I always think, God made that. God just spoke it into place. But don't we always gravitate to Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But then sin came, and death by sin, in that all have sinned. And so the Lord Jesus, the one possessing life, has also the power to offer us salvation and life once again. In John's gospel here, I want to read several other passages for you, beginning in John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Over in John chapter 10, a wonderful text that we call oftentimes the shepherd chapter, and Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus said in that same chapter, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, we can go on and on. In John chapter 11, he said to Martha as she came and was, you know, concerned about her brother Lazarus who had died, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know, the human race in all of its boastfulness is not in control of life. Well, we may have made wonderful advances in medicine, and we can do a lot to bring healing to sick bodies and prolong life, but we cannot stop death from eventually claiming us all. And also, with all of our boasting, we have never been able to create life out of nothing. But when it comes to Emmanuel, God with us, his glory is declared that in him was life. And going back to our text, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this too is most revealing of his character and glory. He is the God of all light. In 1 John chapter 1, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. On the first day of creation, God created light, even before he created the sun, moon, and stars. But this light even goes beyond. You know, part of the Christmas story is that passage in Isaiah where it says that those that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Matthew talks about that. The people that sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. John the Baptist was given the great blessing to be able to go out and declare this light. Look at verse number 6 in John 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, Jesus is the true light, and he was not hesitant to teach that truth. Again, going through the Gospel of John, and we go to chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Chapter number 12 of John's Gospel, we find once again in verse 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. You know, and when we repent of our sin, we are born again into his kingdom of light. 2 Corinthians, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And can I tell you, this light we will enjoy for all eternity in heaven. Revelation tells us in chapter 21 that in those that the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. But there is a sobering reminder in our text. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John chapter 3, that wonderful text, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But a little bit further on, we read in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, the devil has so convinced us that our evil ways are better that we reject the light. Emmanuel is the Word. He is the Creator. He is the life. He is the light. He is also the Messiah and Savior. In verse number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's not the physical planet. It's talking about us, the cosmos. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So Emmanuel came into his own, the nation of Israel as Messiah and King, and to all humanity, Jew and Gentile, as Savior and Lord. Now, the key thought that I want us to get here is that he came. Our sin keeps us from seeking him, so he came to us. I mean, that was illustrated to us when God spoke to Moses on the backside of the desert from that bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, dear friends, there is no God like this God. Indeed, the concept of Emmanuel is his coming to earth for us, his sinning creatures. And yet, what was the response? The world knew him not. His own received him not. This is such a grim fact. The one who is life and light came to the human race, and we wanted nothing to do with him. But wait, there is good news here. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many, or whosoever, as John 3:16, and we can praise his name for his deliverance. You know, the privilege and to become the sons of God comes through the new birth offered by God to us. You know, it has nothing to do with us, our family line, our religion, our good works. It is only as we repent and believe upon him. And verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, dear friends, the Lord did indeed reveal the Father to us. There was a time he actually revealed a bit of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But it was his life, ongoing life, that he revealed himself because it was a life filled with grace and truth. Dear friend, we are so grateful for Emmanuel, so grateful for all that he has done for us. And indeed, we need to see his glory. And John chapter 1 reveals it so well. A rich passage for all people, filled with divine power and truth. And it is all concerning Emmanuel, God with us. May your heart and my heart be focused upon him. And may we be certain we have trusted him to save us.
Standing on the Promises comes to you as a ministry of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church. Our services begin on Sunday mornings at 9:45 with Sunday School, followed by our main worship service at 11. We close out the Lord's Day with an evening service at 6:30. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would like to extend an invitation to you, our listeners, to join us for any of these services. If you would like more information about our church and its ministries, why not visit our website at gvbc.ca. You can find directions to our church, a bit of our history, details on our ministries, and even past programs of Standing on the Promises. That web address again is gvbc.ca. If you would like to write to us, our address is 4440 Victoria Drive, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5N4N6.
This is Pastor Gordon Connor. If I can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please be sure to get in touch. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.